Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
It's funny that he got a technical against the Lakers when LeBron wasn't playing against Jared Vanderbilt. I wonder if that had been the case if LeBron was playing. We'll talk about that. Hey, Jimmy Butler, Jonathan Kuminga, want to hear about their relationship? Here's JK talking about him being a sponge with Jimmy this offseason.
I'll say I just been a sponge, going to him every single day, not just after practice, just anytime I interact with him, just trying to pick his brain up. And I feel like in this league, he's one of the people that actually been in my shoes throughout their career, like know what I've been going through or what I've been through. And I'll say just a similarity of the game and just his knowledge of the game, just as much as he knows, you know, and that's why he's Jimmy. And just trying to pick his brain as much as I can.
Again, that is a young player trying to learn from a Hall of Fame player. And a guy that, and Jimmy Butler, skill set wise, I think Jonathan Kuminga could look at him and say, why can't I be Jimmy Butler? Why can't I do those things? And he's even more athletic than Jimmy is.
I would love, Sam, at some point this morning, when you have a second, I know you're very overwhelmed back there behind the glass. People are calling in like crazy. How many times has Jonathan Kuminga played 32 minutes and 54 seconds in a game?
32.
Think about that.
Let's see.
32 minutes and 50, almost 33 minutes. How many times has he played almost 33 minutes in a game? I bet it's less than 40.
Can't be many, right? I'm looking yesterday. You had Steph at 32, JK at 33. You had Pods at 33, Jimmy at 35, Draymond at 28, Horford 20 off the bench, Buddy Hield 22 off the bench. Like, I thought they staggered the minutes beautifully yesterday. I really did. Steve Kerr, tip of the cap again. We're taking all your calls and text overreactions. I thought Steve Kerr did a great job. And we talked about before the season, Joe, at any point in the game, you have to have either Steph or Jimmy on the floor. And he did that. And that was perfect. Whether it's in, and I love Jimmy being out there with some of those guys that are still unproven because he just does have a calming presence and knows the flow of a game. I'll say this with Steph. He's a top 10 player of all time. Maybe top 5. He's so damn good. He does get a little frenetic at times, and you saw that towards the end there with some of his shot selection, where I'd rather have Jimmy with the ball in his hand saying, all right, guys, let's all take a deep breath here.
There's times Curry almost, to me, it's he's so ready for this dagger kill shot to win a game that I actually think he takes two or three bad shots before he hits the final dagger. And I'd be lying to you if I didn't think that two of those possessions down the stretch were atrocious.
Yeah.
Like, awful possessions, awful shots. He dribbled off his knee, and he had no flow. No one else touched the ball, and he hoisted a, you know, falling down 40-footer. It was a bad shot.
Both teams were extremely sloppy, especially in that first half. It was ugly to watch. I know half of America couldn't even, like, watch the game itself because NBC and the local broadcasting and all of that, and people don't have Peacock. We'll get into that debacle because the amount of people are DMing me, and I'm sure you, Joe, saying, I can't watch this game! And then it comes on for the rest of America on cable, if you still have that, or just the channel NBC, halfway through the second. Yeah, that's a problem. That's a big, fat problem, especially when you're featuring those two franchises, the two most valuable when it comes to the sport of basketball, the Lakers and the Warriors. Yeah, I know it's Oklahoma City, and they're the champs, but come on, man. Come on. It's Stephen Curry. It's Luka Doncic. These are your golden geese, if you will, as I go Willy Wonka on you this morning. Brought to you by Golden State, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com.
So AI is telling me the career high for minutes played in a game for John the Kuminga is
40.
37.
Ooh, I was close. Okay.
And that happened in 2022-2023 versus the Mavericks.
How was he in that game? Do we have the stat line?
No, I don't have it. Okay. I'm just telling you what game that was. March 22nd, 2023.
Man, that was a while ago. Oscar
37. Isn't that kind of crazy?
That is pretty crazy. So he had 33
minutes last night. Again, I just ask out loud, how many times has he played 33 minutes in a game? Probably
so
not that.
I got here in 2024-25, so last year it was four times.
Four times.
The year prior to that, 23-24, was 13 times. Mm. In 22-23, it was twice. And then his rookie year, it was four times. As far as that career high, I also see here he played about 40 minutes in 2022 against the Pelicans. Warriors lost 128-83, so probably some garbage time in that
so
one.
So we're at like 25 times in his entire career he's played about 33 minutes or more.
Something like that, yeah.
Think about that. Now, I want also people to think about Jalen Green, think about Wagner, think about all the other contemporaries from his draft class. And
look, Scotty Barnes.
Scotty Barnes. Now also think about Pajemski. In 2 years, how many times, and I'm not hating on any of these guys, I'm just saying, like, being able to play through mistakes and growth is a part of it. Now, look, it takes two to tango. He's got to do small things to earn more minutes. And all that. But there is something to be said for the more he plays, the better he looks. There's something to that.
Absolutely.
And so, like, him having this game last night, it's a huge leap forward for him.
I mean, maybe.
Got to build on it.
Well, Joe, maybe it was Jimmy Butler being that missing link for him. Like, maybe he needed a guy that was an outsider coming into the organization with that pedigree, you know, taking him under his wing and saying, you know what? He just gets me. We get each other. Like, there is something, like, for as great as a leader, Stephen Curry and Draymond Green, whether you think he's a good leader, bad leader, whatever, those guys are Hall of Famers. Maybe they just couldn't relate to JK, and JK couldn't relate to them the way that Jimmy Butler does, and that's okay.
But he also needs to just play better, right?
Yes.
So, like, I hear you on the Jimmy Butler thing, but, like, it's not Jimmy Butler or anyone else's fault that you're not rebounding.
No.
That you're not boxing out.
But maybe Jimmy Butler was able to get through to Jonathan Kuminga with certain things and how he phrased it or, like, helped him.
Sure. He just connects a little more.
Correct.
Yeah.
Shout out Dalton.
But he played a really good brand of ball. And again, everyone's going to look at, like, the points scored. I don't even care about the points scored. To me, it's about spacing. The extra pass, not forcing it.
The six assists?
Yeah.
Like, but the
defensively, not falling asleep off ball, boxing out
that's
on long-range threes.
That's a tough assignment on Luka Doncic.
I agree.
I think he handled the zone very well. Luka's going to get his, but just make it harder
make
for him.
Make him work hard.
Yes, that's what Andre Iguodala did so well. Not saying he's Iggy. Everyone relax. But that's what Andre Iguodala did so well on LeBron for so many years. Just make him work a little bit harder, and you saw how exhausted Luka was in that fourth quarter. He couldn't do anything.
Yeah, he looked gassed.
Yes.
Probably the coolest night part of the night for JK was just a nondescript alley-oop to Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
On a two-on-one. He just threw it up. It was, like, beautiful. It's like, I can't remember JK throwing too many of those.
Jimmy Butler, after the game, he just wants Kuminga to be great.
I just want to help JK be great. He's got so much, like, just raw talent, and he's so aggressive. He's athletic. He's super smart, and I'm trying to teach him a little bit of what I see throughout the game. And we've been, you know, kicking it, hanging out, watching film, and just working on our game together after practice, before practice, during practice. I know how great he wants to be and how great he can be. So it's now my job to help him fulfill that.
I love that. That's leadership personified.
It really
is.
It's
my job.
I've never heard Steph, and I'm not knocking them. Leadership comes in many forms.
Yes.
But that is, you're right about the Jimmy thing. Maybe I'm coming around on it.
No, like that, he might be the missing link to help unlock Jonathan Kuminga. And if that's true, again, I said it earlier, Joe, if you get that version of Jimmy with JK, you get that production from Buddy Hield off the bench, absolutely they can win the West. Absolutely. With a B-minus game from Stephen Curry for his standards, 23 points. I know he had the night-night shot.
That's incredible.
I'm loving what I'm hearing after the game. You know, all this team, and that's another part about this. This is a full season with Jimmy Butler, and there's a lot of question marks about that. And I think outside of health, because we all understand that's the biggest question mark about this team. And quite frankly, you could say about every NBA team. Oh, it's health. It's health. Oklahoma City, what is it? It's health. The Houston Rockets, what is it? It's health.
There's only one ball, too, in Houston.
Sure. No, and absolutely, that's going to be a thing, right? But it's always health with any professional sports team, first and foremost. Outside of that, it's getting the young guys to mesh with the older guys. And Jimmy Butler and J.K., they have this relationship now that might be the bridge they needed.
I do think also adding Horford, an outside person to come into the situation. He's just a very nice guy. And I think he's a big, like, connector. They needed those guys. And sports teams can get very clicky.
Yeah.
I saw this with the San Francisco Giants during their golden years. You know, there was a click. And if you weren't a part of the click, you were kind of on the outside. Mm-hmm. Angel Pagan was kind of on the outside of the click. I feel like the Niners, the last couple of years, prior to this year, there was like a click. The Cabo click, as they like to call
them. Cabo click.
And if you weren't a part of it, like Brandon Ayuk never felt a part of the Cabo click.
Mm.
And I think that it was like disgruntled. Like, I mean like Kittle and Debo and, you know, that whole Trent and Bosa. Like, there was a click. And I get it. Like, the best players, you know, hang out together. But you want to be a little more inclusive. And as a young player, I think it's really difficult cracking the click, especially when the Warriors, it was Iggy and Clay and Dre and Steph. And I'm not faulting these guys. I'm just saying, like, when you have all of these accomplishments and you go through so much together, it's hard to get into that friend circle, that trust circle. And I think having a new guy in Jimmy and having a new guy in Horford really does help.
Ooh, I like that you said circle of trust right there. Maybe we'll have a Spadoni circle of trust at some point this week.
Well, you know who I want to see more of?
Who?
To be able to throw him into the circle of trust? Will Richards.
Ooh.
I'm very intrigued. I'm not ready to, like, say what he is. I want to see more of him. I like him.
14 minutes for the Rook.
I like him.
Off the bench, 2 of 2, 5 points.
Pachemski better watch out. Will Richards is coming for some of those minutes.
Will Richard?
He is, though.
Not Little Richard. Will Richard. By the way, you're listening to 95 in the Game, KGNZ FM and HD1.
I like
Will Richard. Odyssey Sports Station in the home of the Golden State Warriors.
Nah, dude.
And Valkyries, always live on the Odyssey app, coming live from the Laughing Monk Studio.
He's strong. He plays good defense. He moves without the ball. He's around the rim. He popped out on a three-point attempt late in the shot clock. Like, you could tell he's played a lot of basketball. Will Richards is going to be a solid player for this team.
Steve Kerr clearly trusted him 14 minutes off the bench yesterday.
You like him, huh, Carter?
You like that?
I do. I think he's a good piece.
Carter, and, well, you know, he played for our boy who was here at USF for a long time and is now at Florida and won a national championship. So that means he knows how to play ball.
Shout out Gators, SF State, baby. From 20th Century Studios.
USF.
On October 24th, discover why critics are calling Springsteen Deliver Me From Nowhere an intelligent journey into the soul of an artist. Joe, I said that because Florida Gators, SF State Gators, get with the program. Jeremy Allen White is the boss.
Totally
Springsteen,
different.
Deliver Me From Nowhere, only in theaters Friday. Get tickets now, and for your chance to win a $100 gift card, plus 2 movie passes for a night out. Listen all this week, coming back from the 8 a.m. break for the I Love the Boss Sounder from Brian Baldinger.
I have seen Springsteen from the Meadowlands to Milano, Italy. And I'm telling you, there's nothing like a Springsteen show.
When you hear that, you got to be calling number 5 to the contest lineup, 415-523-4652, and you'll win, courtesy of 20th Century Studios. And that's what's coming up, brought to you by Fremont Bank, which is here for you and here for you.
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes, hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low-impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including Arc. That's HYDROW.com. Code FIT.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's
outside
not,
of Cleveland.
You know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready.
maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone. I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air. And we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Good.
I think it's going to change depending on who they're playing. I do. I really do. But I was thinking, like, hey, I would stagger the old guys. It's not about tonight. It's about the totality of it's the beginning of a six-month season. And if you go deep, it's 9 months, right?
Yeah.
And so Horford and Dre, I'd split them up. I would. And I would find a way to have Jimmy or Steph on the floor at all times in the game. And I believe there was only like a minute where both were out yesterday.
Yeah, there was like a very quick, but yeah, I'm with you. We talked about it all morning. So stagger those two.
My hypothesis was like, hey, I would love to be able to have to start the game with Pods, Kuminga, Jimmy, Steph, and Dre, or Jimmy, Steph, and Horford. And either Dre comes off the bench or Horford comes off the bench. And they had Horford come off the bench yesterday. Now, I do believe if you're playing Dallas, I'm just going to throw Dallas out there. They got the two bigs, right? It'll be Lively or Gafford plus Anthony Davis. I don't know if you can go smaller in that scenario.
Right.
But Kuminga guarding Luka was the matchup I was looking for. And they ended up going with that, and I thought it worked out really well. They got off to a pretty good start. Ball was hopping. I felt like they were playing complimentary basketball.
And I wonder where Warriors fans are at after that win yesterday. 119-109, Warriors 1-0 on the season. 888-957-9570. Talking about your biggest takeaway from that game. And it may just be Jonathan Kuminga getting the nod and having kind of an up-and-down first half, but again, exploding in that third quarter, Joe, where the Warriors, the third-quarter Warriors, could they be back again? Like, they just they took control of that game and never really looked back. I know it got to like 5-6 points there towards the end and got a little scary, but they were in control of that game for the most part, starting in that second half. And that was what was refreshing to me. And I think a big part of that is Jimmy Butler. Like, we need to talk more about this guy, and I get it. You know,
he's so good.
It was a whirlwind. I think a lot of Warriors fans, rightfully so, they were down after that playoff series where you lost Steph and you lost to the Minnesota Timberwolves. And the entire summer, you kind of just had to sit back and say, man.
I don't think I understood how serious the injury to the butt was.
Yeah.
The tailbone injury. Yeah, keep going. Because you're right. The way it ended at the end of the year, and I don't mean to interrupt you, but the way it ended at the end of the year, it was ugly.
Well, we talked to Nick Friedell about it, and I asked Nick. I was like, hey, man, like, is there anything with, like, Jimmy, like, not being able to, like, get a win without Steph in that playoff series? Where it was like, hey, Spinone, you got to remember, like, I think it was underreported even just how much that tailbone injury was bothering him. And he's a trooper. He wasn't going to use it as an excuse.
He was totally different.
But he was different. He was more passive. Dude, he
didn't look as strong.
What was that? Game 3 at Chase Center, it was like the final 6 minutes, he didn't get a bucket.
No.
And like they were in control there, remember? Him and JK, and just they couldn't buy a bucket there late, and that had to have been fatigue / the injury. And I think a lot of Warriors fans were just down and like, man, we didn't really do much. I mean, we're adding Al Horford, we're getting older, we're adding D'Anthony Melton. They just weren't really excited about the offseason acquisitions, but I had to remind people, Jimmy Butler was your acquisition. You got him back in February, man. Like, that was your big acquisition. You signed this guy to a 2-year extension, $100+ million. That's the dude. Well, that's the trio going forward. It's Jimmy, it's Dre, and Steph. And if you get that version of Jimmy Butler last night, coupled with that version of Jonathan Kuminga, with Buddy Hield off the bench drop at 17, yeah, sky's the limit for this team.
The thing with Jimmy, too, that when you watch in the half court, when Steph's out there, how many times in his career has he had the second best perimeter defender on him?
Ooh, that's a great question. Not a lot. No, because he's always been the guy, right?
That's kind of what I'm going like. And so I think,
because if it was with Bam, Bam gets the other team's big. So yeah.
Right? So like, it's a luxury for him to be able to kind of operate against a lesser defender, number one. And then number two, like, your defense as a whole isn't having him keyed as the primary.
Yeah, he's always been the guy. Now I'm thinking back to like the 76ers, right? Even with the Minnesota Timberwolves, because Cat was the big man there, and then Andrew Wiggins wasn't the one that he was. Yeah, It's a good point. I didn't think about it like that.
Like, there's, I think he really benefits from being able to put the ball on the floor against a lesser opponent. And then secondarily, they're so worried about what Curry's going to do off ball. And Jimmy's such a great passer.
Gravity, man.
Right? They know that he's going to pass. He gets these one-on-ones, and then he gets into the lane. And again, I think the element of his game, if I'm a young player, whether it's youth, high school, whatever, and I'm watching Jimmy, what Jimmy does that so few players do in the league these days, he jump stops in traffic. And then his ability to pump fake and get a defender to leave his feet, to be able to finish on both sides of the rim, to stay under control in the lane, it's throwback basketball, and I think that's why he's so good. It's such a subtle thing. Jump stop and maintain your pivot. How many guys leave their feet in the lane off one foot?
Like, oh, so many.
Anthony Edwards is so talented.
Brandon Pajemski.
Brandon Pajemski is a good one. Anthony Edwards is so talented, but he'll leave his feet off one foot in the air because he can get away with it athletically, and he doesn't understand that as he gets better and better and better, jump stopping and pivoting and being able to maintain your dribble. This is why Jordan became Jordan. This is why Kobe became Kobe. Being able to, from a triple threat position, be a threat to score on so many different, like, just ways of feeling the defender and how they leave their feet. Jimmy's excellent at it.
The word I come back to, and you put that beautifully, the word I would use to summarize all of that, patience. He's got just tremendous patience and poise, almost like a quarterback that's feeling all the pressure in the pocket.
Good point.
That doesn't faze Jimmy Butler. He's there. He knows the situation. Nothing fazes him. The guy's played in two NBA finals before. He's played in high-level basketball. He's been the best player on a couple teams that have been to a championship. Like, he knows what he's doing out there. He's not going to get fazed by the bright lights of the Crypto.com arena or anything like that. It's funny. We have the post-game notes, Joe, and just some of the names, you know, that are attached to Jimmy Butler because he had a kind of like a record performance. It's the most points he's ever had in a season opener, 31 points. He was 16-16 from the free throw line, setting a Warriors season opening record for makes.
Wow.
The previous high was 14 by your boy Jerry Lucas back in 1970.
What? Jerry Lucas?
Jerry Lucas.
Wow.
For the San Francisco Warriors.
Yeah.
Which is Cleveland then.
Wow.
His 16 attempts tied the third most by a Warrior.
Jerry Lucas. That's crazy.
16 free throw attempts tied the third most by a Warrior in a season opener. Wilt Chamberlain, Paul Arizin.
No way.
17. Yes.
No
way. And
then
the last Warrior to make 16-plus free throws without a miss. You're not going to get this one. 2009. C.J. Watson.
Oh, I remember C.J. Watson.
16-16.
Don't Google it. I mean, excuse me, you Google it. I won't. He wore number 23 for the Golden State Warriors after Jason Richardson. C.J. Watson was a point guard, undersized. I believe, was it C.J. Watson who Floyd Mayweather and him? It was, huh?
When McGregor tweeted at Draymond Green and was like, that's not a Draymond Green jersey. That's a C.J. Watson jersey, mate.
That's right. C.J. Watson, undersized point guard, wore number 23. Correct, right?
That was
Carter, I'm right, right?
Yeah. You're going Obi-Wan. Now, that's a name I've not heard in a long time.
Put that back on the board. I just watched that with my son the other day.
It's so good. We got some people that want to get in
last
here.
Last thing on Jimmy.
Please.
He looks chiseled, but he plays stronger than he even is.
He's strong.
He is extremely strong. His ability to play through someone's chest, Kawhi has it. Like, very few guys in the league have that. It's a very skinny league, you know, overall.
Skinny Luka.
It's just not what it used to
skinny
be.
Skinny Zion.
He's cut from a different cloth.
He is. He's built different. And he might just be the missing link that this team needed and Jonathan Kuminga needed in particular. Oscar Stockton.
What's up, Oscar?
I know Oscar's fired up after that win. Thanks for your patience,
JK.
Oscar.
What's going on, fellas?
What you got, man?
What's up, bro?
You're fired up, aren't you, Oscar? Come on, man.
Oh, man, you know I'm fired up, man. I'm on my way down here to Environmental with my hot dog cart. Man, look at here, man. Even though the Peacock had me searching all over the place trying to find the game, I finally got to the game, and the Warriors did their thing, man. Jonathan Kuminga. Hey, you can tell he's been in the lab, and one thing he's about to laugh is mental, too. Listen, Jimmy Butler is in his ear. He's slowing down the game, and that's what's going to make us the right team because we need athletical youngsters out there. And not only that, Kerr did a great job with rotating, like you said, the veterans, man. And I love the way how Kerr is coaching right now because he's not afraid to play the rookie. Because the rookie is a baller out of Florida, man. I don't know if everybody's been watching
Will Richards.
Play,
yeah.
He can ball. Will Richards is a baller, man. That's what it takes when you stay in school for 4 or 5 years. He's probably the same age as Moses and Kuminga. That's why he gets it real quick. But on that point, Joe, you're right. Marcus Smart had me jumping through the damn TV. Huh. Man, I don't know what he out there trying to do, man. When he twists his arm like that, I went crazy. He's flopping around on the court. He ran up to Steph again. I mean, they need to watch this, man, because he almost ended our season with that crap, man.
Thank you.
And that don't make any kind of sense, man. If Draymond would have did that, he'd have got kicked out the game. But that don't make any kind of sense. He got a history of doing that, too, against the Warriors players. But what he did yesterday, man, I was shocked. But that's a testament to Steph being in the weight room. You understand me? But you know what I'm saying? I loved it. And on Monday, my birthday, I will be in attendance, and I want to talk to Jimmy Butler, because like Jimmy Butler said in his interview, Ronnie Brewer was one of his mentors, and that's my first cousin. You know what I'm saying? I watched Jimmy play when he was at Chicago. I used to go to some of the games. You know what I'm saying? So you always know how I am.
Wait, Oscar, real quick, happy early birthday for you real quick. You said you were on a hot dog cart? What's your specialty?
Yeah. Bacon wrap, hot links, San Francisco roll, with all the veggies on it. Oh, yeah, I got deep fried turkey sandwiches too.
You know what, Oscar? We need to get in touch with you. Whenever we have another event that's outside, we need Oscar and Stockton to bring that cart over
here. Yeah.
I could go for some. You don't need chili cheese dogs, Oscar?
I got everything. That's one of my favorites. I got homemade chili.
Like I say,
my hot dog cart is more than just a hot dog cart.
Hey,
everything.
Do you remember the old Master P song? I got candy.
Hey, I don't know if you guys remember the old Doggy Dunning from Oakland.
Oh, yeah.
That's where I grew up in Oakland. Old Doggy Dunning and Casper Hot Dogs, man.
Oh, yeah.
Casper Hot Dogs. That's going way back.
Yep.
The old Doggy Diner is...
Thanks, Oscar.
So for San Franciscans, there was a few locations.
That's with the big dog, right?
Yeah. Sloat used to have the old Doggy Diner back in the day. I believe there was one on Ocean and on South Van Ness as well. The older, the guys in their 50s and 60s would know. I just remember the one out near the zoo, right, off of Sloat. And Java Beach is the little coffee shop that's out there. Shout out to the McGuire family. I love all of them.
And I'm Mark.
I frequent that all the time. But he's right. The Doggy Diner back in the day, the old logo used to be out there forever.
Now, for a holiday,
CJ Watson.
Guzzle one of those things down.
Carter dug up the screenshot, and I got it right here. I'm going to show it to you. CJ Watson. So,
oh my God.
Money. Okay. So
this is 2009.
McGregor comes out.
The best clapback ever.
Okay. What year is this?
I think it was like 2014, 2015.
Okay, yeah.
It was when the fight between Mayweather and.
That was like a decade ago.
So,
yeah.
McGregor is coming out in a Warrior jersey, but it's just Warriors 23.
Oh, it was actually 2017.
Okay.
God, that was actually more recent.
And Money Green. Yeah. Posts on his Instagram, we rocking with Floyd, bro, not you. Take that off, at Notorious MMA, which is McGregor's handle. Floyd Mayweather, splash for the cash, hashtag Warriors, hashtag Michigan. And then the Notorious MMA, that's CJ Watson, mate. I don't know who the blank you are. No disrespect, kid. Keep hustling and stay in school. Oh, my God.
That's CJ Watson, mate. That's the best part.
Hey, McGregor did cook Dre, though. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, God.
Not going to lie, dude. That is a wow.
Hey,
wow.
McGregor and Mayweather had the last laugh of that fight. How much millions did they make from that thing? McGregor, hey, you know what?
That was fun fight. I'm not going to lie.
He had some shots on Floyd in that one.
I actually loved that fight.
Mind you, this is 2017, so the Warriors have already won the championship without CJ Watson.
Stay in school, mate.
CJ Watson.
So good.
He bounced around. I'm looking at his Wikipedia page.
He was living in the backyard of Floyd Mayweather's mansion, I believe. At one point.
CJ Watson?
Yes.
What?
Yeah, because they were all, like, there was a lot of stuff going on.
Oh, really? You don't say. With 888-957-9570. I like how, hold on. He started saying there was a lot of...
You completely gave up
on what you're going to say.
Floyd has so much stuff.
Oh, absolutely. This Warriors team has a lot of stuff right now. We're fired up about a 119-109.
Marcus Smart. You want to get back to Marcus? Well, like, we need a McGregor to come out.
Hold on.
No, he's a clown.
I'm not defending Marcus Smart. I thought it also was a dirty play. I'm not defending him at all. But... it does get a little lost on me when people try to say, well, if Draymond did that, Draymond has a track record too. Like, so don't bring up Draymond in an argument when it comes to Marcus Smart.
Yeah, but Marcus Smart has priors. Yeah, does he not?
Both of them do. So I don't want to hear
I think this is important. Like, Dylan Brooks, Marcus Smart, Draymond Green.
They're
all in the same bucket.
I agree.
Dray might be a little thicker when it comes to the concentrate of what he's done.
Yes.
Right? But like, the same things apply. Marcus Smart has a track record, a CVS receipt.
Isaiah Stewart, yes.
Yeah. Isaiah Stewart's definitely in this. But like a CVS list of things he's done to this organization and to that guy in Steph Curry. Steph got his arm underneath the armpit, and he locked the armpit and then twisted. Dude, you tear a labrum, you separate a shoulder, you could ruin a season.
You could ruin his career. Joe, how old is he? He's almost 40. That could ruin his career.
To me, like that, like I'll be real.
One was right. Yes,
that's fighting. Like that's on the level of fighting. I know they don't do it in the NBA anymore. But if that was the 80s, they might have.
Tim in Raleigh, North Carolina. He's a fighter,
Marcus
right?
Marcus Smart's a clown, dude.
Tim's not though.
Clown.
What's up, Timmy?
What's up, guys? What's up, fellas? I think we would all agree. Like you guys were talking about earlier when he plays like 30 minutes a game. I'm talking about JK. You know, the kid averages like 21.6 rebounds, 4 assists. I think what Shasky said earlier is that I think it's a couple of things. He's playing more at peace. I think from the free agency, he was able to talk to other teams and kind of see what's thought about him around the league. And he's really highly thought of around the league. And I think that does something for your mental and just calms you down a little bit. Not so much that he's got to go out here to try and prove everything anymore. He could just really settle in and be what the Warriors need him to be and just be a little bit more patient knowing that his time is coming. And it may come for the Warriors or it may come somewhere else. But I think, you know, when he's played 30 minutes, he's always done this. It's usually the difference is it happens when Steph is out or Draymond is out. The difference last night is that it happened where those guys were on the court. So I'm not, you know, again, you guys called it. I mean, he's out of his draft class. He was number 7, but he's played the 18th most minutes out of that draft class. Mm. So, I mean, again, think about it. If he wasn't put back out there in the second half, which in the past probably would have happened, he wouldn't have had the perfect third quarter. So he's always, the thing about him is he's always played well as the game goes on. But sometimes he may not get that chance.
Tim, can I stop you for a second? I thought last night your point about playing with peace, he played a better brand of, like, he was so much more focused on boxing out and rebounding, though. It really did. It felt like he knew it was a concerted effort. And I also thought he saw the floor a lot better last night. And maybe the coming to peace with it is a big part of that. Because I just felt like he was playing free, yet calm, yet patient. Like, he did look really good last night. I thought he actually played way better than what you're saying.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. Even the preseason, he's been more on playmaking and filling the stat sheet, which that's going to put way more money in his pocket. I mean, if this kid averages like 14, 9, and 6, I mean, that's amazing on a team like this.
Agreed.
So, I mean, I'm with you, Shasky. The preseason, I just love the playmaking, settling down. And you can see some of Jimmy's – I mean, the kid – can do some things that nobody on the team can do. Hell, he could do some things that people in the league don't seem like he could do when it comes to athleticism. But just slowing down, thinking the game, playing more of a floor game, and hitting open shots. I mean, the lineups they could put out there, they could put 4 shooters around this guy, and it could be just dangerous. And then if he's hitting a 3-point shot with confidence, you're right, man. It could take them to a whole nother level. But can I just say one thing? Can we speak on one thing? It was like a week ago. But, dude, it was preseason, but the dunk on Jake LaRavia off the right foot, where it looked like he was about to lay the ball up, was absolutely ridiculous. I mean, it was ridiculous. I just had to speak on that.
Tim, one last thing. Don't you think the vets.
He's gone.
Oh, he's gone? Darn it. They got to split up Draymond and Horford.
Yeah.
I think, look, if it's a must-win game and it's March, April, May, totally different. I'm just talking about as you go through. We got 6 months. Joe, it's October.
It is.
We got to get to March. Now, you got to win enough games to be in position. Obviously, you want to get the right seed. You want to not be fighting for your life. Like, there's a lot that goes into
it. The first back-to-back is this week, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. Splitting them up, I think, benefits everyone on the roster, not just the old guys. I think it benefits the young guys. I think it benefits the overall health of the team. I liked splitting up the older guys.
I was really encouraged by a lot of things last night. One of them is even Al Horford, who didn't have his great game if you just look at the box score.
He played sharp, though.
He knew where he was supposed to be. He played smart, played within the offense. He didn't look lost, not like another 7-footer on the team who's young. I get it, not been in the league as long. Quentin Post, who, didn't look good. It didn't. Again, it's early. There's new pieces here, but Guy Santos, you saw it. Maybe some of those players that were emerging at some points last year are going to get pushed more towards the end of the bench. And with the emergence of a Will Richard, right? You got Buddy Hield there. You got Gary Payton, who's clearly still a trusted agent under Steve Kerr. You know, Seth Curry's going to come at some point. D'Anthony Melton's going to come back to this team at some point.
So last night, I don't think it was a great matchup for QP.
No.
But they're going to play, I'm going to throw a team out there, Memphis with JJJ. And I think you will need to play QP to get JJJ away from the rim, right? You're going to have to play that stretch big to be able to suck him out of the key. So I think there's a time and a place for Quentin Post. He's a very situational player currently.
I think that's fair.
I don't think he's up. You play every night no matter what. Last night they went heavy on GP2 because they had to guard both Austin Reeves and Luka.
Listen, we still don't even know what Quentin Post is in the NBA.
I don't think he knows.
We interviewed him before the season. Yeah, like this guy is still so raw. He had a fun little stretch last year, but he had a tough postseason. You know, Moses Moody had a tough postseason. Brandon Podziemski, wasn't just him. Guy Santos at times. But it's going to be very interesting to see this Rubik's Cube puzzle that Steve Kerr has to, you know, fix or unlock, whatever you want to call it. I was never good at the Rubik's Cube puzzles. I never solved one in my life.
They're so hard. My nephew is so good. He doesn't have to look.
There's an algorithm to do it that you just memorize, and these kids are so good at it. I just have never taken the time to. But 888-957-9570 is the number. Larry, JT, Reef, we'll get to you in a second. I do want to hear more from the players after the game and the head coach, Steve Kerr, because I keep coming back to my biggest takeaway, and that's what we're talking about right now, 119-109 victory. Your biggest takeaway from that game is what, Warriors fans? It's the Jimmy Butler, Jonathan Kuminga, them on the floor together can thrive. He said it last year, Joe. Not only does he think he could work, he thinks he could thrive. That was the quote. I'm starting to see it. Game one, it's early, but I could see it.
Another takeaway I have from last night, not my biggest, but Dre's going to have to work himself into shape here. He had a pretty crummy preseason. It's pretty obvious. He barely played.
He had a pretty crummy end of the last postseason, too, if we're going to keep it a buck.
So, I see him playing 28 minutes last night. He's out of shape. I'm talking about game shape, NBA shape, for him.
I still think he had a good performance overall, though.
He's all right.
8 points, 9 assists, 7 boards.
He had some turnovers.
He had some four, but he led the team in turnovers. It was not good. I thought it was,
Joe, if you're going to be a ball handler, you have to be 3-1.
I know.
I told you guys this.
I think it was also, it's game one, Joe. So sloppiness was abound.
That's why I'm acknowledging
it. The Lakers were super sloppy. I think it was just that first half in general was just gross. It was unwatchable.
Michelle, my wife, says to me, he looks a little sluggish.
Yeah.
That's because Michelle's, her favorite player is Draymond.
Really?
Loves him.
Loves Draymond?
She hates Kevin Durant.
Oh, okay.
She wanted to see Dray run him out of town.
How'd she feel about Jordan Poole?
She liked Jordan Poole.
Oh, okay, all right.
But, she loves Draymond. That's her face. Because she just loves the physical play in basketball.
Where my dog's at?
She doesn't like soft players in basketball. That's a big no-no for her.
Did she like Luka Doncic yesterday?
Oh, she thinks he's a total crybaby.
Okay, thank you.
And he's a ball. He's her words. Ball hog.
Ball hog. Yeah.
She hates ball hogs.
Okay.
Which is what she views Kevin Durant as.
Oh, fair enough. That's so odd. Nah, I'm not gonna.
It's one game, but Dre's gonna have to work himself into shape. That's real, right? It's one game, right? It's early in the year. He's a vet. He's 35 years old. But 28 minutes for him. That's about the sweet spot for me. It is. That's about the sweet spot, I think, for Draymond Green. You only had 20 minutes for Al Horford. Maybe that gets up to 22, 23, maybe. I like Buddy Hield at 22 minutes.
Was that the formula last night for the Dubs going forward, you think? Was that the formula for success for this team in this regular season, was what we saw last night? That lineup. It's going to change, but Jimmy, Draymond, JK, Pods, and Curry going small there? I didn't hate it. Again, matchup specific.
No,
it's going to be different. As I see the Houston Rockets last night.
It's so different.
Their smallest player is 6'7", and everyone
else don't have a point guard.
6'11". That's, again.
They don't have a point guard.
Play fast with that team, right?
So the We all love Kevon Looney, right? Can we all like admit like we love him?
His jerseys are gonna get retired. Yes.
Right. I don't know. That's strong.
I'm telling you, it's gonna happen.
All right. Horford's got more juice than him.
So Horford's an overall probably better player than him.
No, yes. I know, but like even at this age, he moves better than him.
He also he can shoot the three ball.
Yeah, yeah. Like he's and I'm not trying to hate on. I love Looney, dude. Horford's like I have tremendous respect.
He's a better passer. I think at this stage, maybe Looney can be a better offensive rebounder. But
Horford moves pretty well.
No, he does. But again, there's so much injury, even coming out of college with Kevon Looney compared to Horford. And I don't know the history of Horford enough, like injury wise, to you know go down that road. But we all talked about it with Looney. The guy has maybe the knees of like a 35-plus-year-old. What he's like the wear and tear.
Yeah,
but I know where you're going here.
No,
it looks like an upgrade. Yes, it does.
That's kind of where I'm going. And I love Looney. I'm not trying.
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes, hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including ARC. That's HYDROW.com. Code FIT.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
To backhand him. I'm not trying to like, you know, rip him or anything. Like, Horford's a better player than him, even at this age. Sure. And I was kind of like, No. He is.
He's not afraid.
He spaces the floor better. He does. He's a better passer. And Looney did a lot of really nice things. But the reality is that, like, Looney's probably on the very, very, very back end of his career.
Yeah, it sucks. And he's starting off hurt with the New Orleans Pelicans. I think the Pelicans are going to be a fun watch this year. I don't know if they're going to do anything. Maybe a fringe playing team. If Zion, again, talking about big ifs, if he can stay healthy, but he looks like a slimmed down version, Jordan Poole, they'll be a fun watch. I know, yeah. They'll be a fun watch. I'm not saying they're doing anything this year, but they'll be fun.
I do also wonder, as the year goes on, GB2 played a lot last night, and they had him kind of in like a power forward on offense in the dunker spot, and then on defense he was guarding the perimeter. Is that and they do that because they want to get him, you know, in the game to guard. That's what he's there. Is that a spot by year's end? Will Richard could possibly occupy some of those minutes because he could defend out on the perimeter and he gives you more of a stretch on offense, and you can play different kinds of lineups alongside of him. I just wonder.
Maybe.
Like, I like GP2. I think he has a spot, but I think his spot will oscillate a lot as the year goes on.
Well, as we've seen in years past.
He's the second, the first guy off the bench.
I mean, history will you know, prove itself. Like, what does Steve Kerr usually do when it push comes to shove? Playoff time.
Yeah, he goes
games
with the guys he trusts. But I think the fact that Will Richard in his first NBA game got 13 minutes and GP2 only got 12. Now, you were winning late, so you could throw him back in there. Right. But that tells me that I think that Steve Kerr loves Will Richard.
He had a big three there. Like, that was low-key. Like, there were some big shots there from Buddy, from Draymond, from him. Like, where there was those little Laker runs that they kept trying to cut it to, like, 9, 10 points, just a three, just to get some more breathing room. I thought yesterday, the Warriors, when the Lakers were trying to do their final punch, they just, whether it was Steph, whether it was Draymond, they were money there. And that second half, they really took over. The final score doesn't really indicate it. I thought the Warriors handled the Lakers for most of that second half. The first half was just absolutely unwatchable.
Austin the Whistle Reeves, you know, just got anything he wanted. He's a good player.
I mean,
I like Austin Reeves.
Jimmy Butler.
But he gets the most ridiculous disproportionate whistle to his actual talent that I've ever seen in the league.
I'm not worrying about the whistles right now when it comes to the Warriors because I got Jimmy Butler going there 16 times.
Jimmy's a Hall of Famer.
And Steph Curry going there 8 times. Yeah, you know, Austin Reeves might be the,
how many times did Austin Reeves
the L.A. Country Club Hall of Fame.
Did you see his golf tan?
Oh, it was so bad. Well, his haircut. He needs to be at a better barber. Come on.
What?
I know. I'm
how many times did he go to the free throw line? Let me see.
10 times. Tim and Luca were 7 of 10. I mentioned this. They mentioned on the broadcast a bunch. 17 of 28 from the free throw line, 60%.
I gotta look up how many he averages.
Just make
first
free
career
throws. Maybe it's a different game. Reef and Vallejo. What's up, Reef? You're on the morning roast.
What's going on, fellas? So I have a very controversial take. I want to say about the Marcus Smart thing, our team is soft. The reason why I say that is because, like, if you think about Brock Purdy running slides and somebody takes his head off, Trent Green and everybody is going to try to maul that guy. Just the action of what Marcus Smart did was dirty. It was clear as day. But I didn't see anybody on the Warriors kind of hem him up. Like, hey, this is our guy. You didn't try to hurt our guy. That's not cool. I see none of that. I could have missed it, but I think our team is pretty soft right now, man. We're all, you know, just laid back, trying to let the rest handle it. But actions like that need to take different steps, man. And then there's one last thing to say. Will Richard, excellent draft pick.
It really
excellent
is.
Excellent draft pick.
Hey, I think we could.
Thanks, Reef.
I think we can pretty much say very concretely, Mike Dunleavy knows exactly what to draft for this team.
Yeah.
I'm not saying these guys are all-stars. I'm saying, like, fits. Look where they're drafting. Like, they're later. These are later picks. These aren't, like, top five picks, right? And so when you're drafting later, it's like, can you just play? Yeah. And I feel like TJD can play. I mean, he's not the greatest, but he can play. Quinn Post can play. Not the greatest. Got a lot to work on. But Pajemski?
Yeah.
Will Richard?
Or Pat Spencer?
Well, that was more of an acquisition, but yes.
But I'm going to give
I agree.
You got to give him credit.
Like, I agree.
I know you're saying drafting, yeah, but like
he gets guys that
make,
fit.
If you make moves and you're the GM, I'm giving you the credit for it if they produce on the roster. So, yes.
Like, think of where they're drafting these guys, and they're contributors. That matters to me. Guy Santos can be a contributor at some point. You found him for nothing. For nothing.
I wonder where Warriors fans are. Are they with Reef and Vallejo? Should they have sent a message back to the Lakers and Marcus Smart? Do you think that was soft from the Warriors' perspective? Or were they just being like, you know what? We're not going to feed into that. We're not going to make this, you know, a knock them out, slug them out kind of a game. We're not doing that. Draymond got his tech early.
Well, this is where Guy Santos is like, that's a guy I would send out there to whack somebody.
That's not him. Your Brazilian Orlando Bloom. Come on. Quentin Post, what is he? It's not him.
It can't be Draymond. That's the problem. He's too important. It's got to be someone who's not as important.
JK? You want JK going out there?
I just think this is an NBA issue currently where teams now, instead of having that goon on the bench that would do that job, they're like, oh, we'll take a 19-year-old and we'll develop him. And he'll be back and forth from Santa Cruz.
I said Pat Spencer should have just been subbed in immediately just to, just send a message and then get ejected real quick.
I love Pat Spencer.
He got ejected last year, didn't he? Did Pat Spencer get an ejection?
Yes.
Was that in preseason?
Yeah, no, he got us. He got ejected.
Something ridiculous. 888-957-9570. We could take calls on that if you thought the Warriors should have retaliated after the Marcus Smart flagrant one. This is what Steve Kerr had to say after the game, by the way, because we've been talking about all morning, Joe. You know, the Jimmy Butler game, the Jonathan Kuminga connection there. I think Jimmy Butler is the key that is now going to bridge JK to the rest of this team. I think JK needed Jimmy a lot. Whether it comes to leadership, being the sponge, just being a different voice helps sometimes, an outsider's voice. Now, I know Jimmy's now a part of the team, but he was an outsider at one point. He had different perspective being with all these different teams. He is a journeyman Hall of Famer, if you will. This is his fifth team. He's been around. This guy's been to two NBA finals as the best player on a team. He knows what he's doing. He commands respect. And for him to have a relationship with JK and to say that we could thrive on the court together, I just think JK needed someone to have his arm wrapped around him. And Jimmy Butler's been that guy. Here's what Steve Kerr had to say about it.
And I think Jimmy has really helped him too. Jimmy has really talked to him a lot during camp. He's taken him aside after practices. And I think Jonathan is, you know, you got to remember, he just turned 23, you know. So I talk about this a lot, but, you know, he's basically, you know, he played, what, 8 games in the G League bubble, then came to us basically as like a freshman in college. That's how I looked at it. So a lot of the players today just don't get the same experience, reps that they did years ago. And for him, it hasn't been easy to find minutes on our team. And I'm really proud of him for staying with it and really maturing. And it was a great start for him and for us.
Again, that we heard from Jimmy, JK, Steve Kerr, all the players talking about that relationship, Jimmy Butler and Jonathan Kamingham. Maybe we just slept on it all offseason. Maybe we did, because JK in the conversation was what? Contract, contract, contract. You got to get rid of him. You got to do a sign and trade. It was just so much drama, and I'm so happy we can react to just game one now, Joe, and it's positivity.
You know, the first thing I thought of all offseason was, how is this core of guys going to accept this guy back into the locker room? How is this coaching staff, with all the stuff that's been said, how are they going to have faith in him and trust him and empower him? How's that going to play out? And in game one, all of the things that I had as worries have all evaporated. You know, it's a real testament to Steve Kerr. Well,
it really is. No, it is. It's Steve
Kerr. It really is.
And it's also, and this is why I never thought it was going to be a problem. Not that you were wrong feeling that way. I think a lot of people
felt
that way.
I just wondered.
No, for sure. I think it was rightfully so. But Jimmy, Draymond, Steph, they all know the game. The negotiations, the drama. They've been through all that. They know at the end of the day, if he's in the building, training camp, game day one, day two, it's all water under the bridge. They don't care. Let's get to work. Let's go. I don't care about any of that crap. They are so well equipped on this roster to deal with that stuff because of those three guys. And specifically Jimmy, again, I keep mentioning this. There is something to, you know, coming from a different organization later on in your career. Same with Al Horford. That just gives new perspective to some of these other players.
Well, he also empowered Tyler Hero early on.
And with now they have beef. Yeah, so.
Well, they had beef at the end, but like I'm talking about early on.
Yeah.
He really empowered him. I mean, there's lots of different guys.
Yeah.
Max Strus.
Gabe Vincent, who you saw on the court yesterday.
Took the words right out of my mouth. So, you know, I think Jimmy Butler will take certain guys under his wing. And I think the Warriors do. We just don't give him enough credit for it.
I think we're a little jaded.
Because of the pool thing.
Exactly. Yeah, that we're a little more jaded.
Sure.
Specifically Draymond Green. And if I just said 888...
I mean, he punched the teammate.
No, Joe. If I literally just said 888-957-9570, is Draymond Green a great leader? We would have... One side says yes, one side says hell no. And we've had shows like that in the past. I'm here to tell you, Jimmy Butler is a great leader, and that is not a hot take at all. Larry,
does he have the best braids in the game?
It's up there. Definitely better than DeAndre Ayton's. Are those like bleach blondes?
Is that DeAndre Ayton is, and I say this with my full chest, he is one of the worst basketball players in the NBA.
Bust.
He is so garbage. He got caught for roids. Dude, keep taking them because they're clearly not working enough. He is awful.
We don't care about steroids. It's so funny. Real quick, before we get to the injury report, the only sport we care about steroids, I swear to God, is baseball. Guys get caught in the NBA and the NFL. It's like, oh, yeah, well, you know, just baseball is where we care about it.
By the way, in the Olympics, what do we lose our minds over regarding steroids? Oh, the runners and the jumpers. Yeah. What are you doing in the NBA? Oh, but David Stern told me it doesn't help you at all.
What are you doing in the NFL? Right?
Look at LeBron's forehead. Come on.
My forehead? I was just too.
Looks like he's been taking HGH. It looks allegedly like he's been taking HGH since he was 7.
Those glasses, I wonder how much those costed.
LeBron is so jealous of the Warriors situation. That was my big other takeaway, watching that. He was watching with envy.
I wonder if he's going to be featured on the injury report.
He also hates me. Like,
it's time for the injury report.
Really hurt.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
Well, maybe that just goes to show you it was Rob Pelinka LeBron's head. Why do you think he's so mad?
LeBron was the one who did the deal, and I think he has total buyer's remorse.
No, LeBron wanted Kyrie Irving, and the fact that Pelinka didn't go out to get Kyrie made LeBron very upset. By the way, where was Moses Moody last night? The Warriors guard will be absent at the start of the season due to a lingering calf issue that caused him to miss the final three games of the preseason. Steve Kerr has not sounded the alarm over the injury, and Moody is expected to be reevaluated this week. There is no timetable for his return. The injury report was brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. Your chance to win a $100 gift card and Bruce Springsteen movie passes? It's coming up right on the other side. Don't go anywhere. We'll give those away right on the other side. That's what's coming up in the game, brought to you by Fremont Bank, which is here for you and here for good.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.